You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to our newest episode of Manga Mustard. This is now not only being something that the patrons get to see, but now we're going to be putting it on our YouTube feed as well. I am your host today, Christian Ashley, of course, joined by our newest host, James Dimmel. How are you doing, James?
I am doing well today. How are you?
I'm all right, James. You had a fun week at camp after getting massacred by your students?
This is so what Christian is referring to is a text exchange earlier this week, and I had a lake day with my youth group. I'm a youth pastor, and one of the youth, despite my repeated protest of I have my phone in my pocket, pushed me into the lake, thus ruining my phone. So that's what I've been dealing with this week.
Well, let's talk about something more positive then to get your mind off all that.
Let's do it.
And of course, I'm going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, and it's a shame Pang is not here to experience this romance series of Blue Box, where we get the confession chapter.
I know it.
Have you been reading it, James?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this one, and it's so good that the chapter was...
You go.
It was great.
Yeah. I mean, because we start, Taiki and his friends had gone to the same lake that Chinatsu and her family were spending some time in. And we go, oh, are they just going to have that ship sailing in the night kind of moment? And then realize, oh, we were so close to each other. No, they realize they're close to each other. Taiki takes the initiative for once in his life, calls her in this chapter to say, hey, I'm here. Can we meet up? I have something I want to discuss with you. And we see that resolve in Chinatsu's face, forces her family to leave her behind. And then you see her there at the lake. Taiki runs after her and he says, I like you. I like you, Chinatsu-senpai. I said, whoa, I've been waiting 103 chapters or whatever it is for this moment. Yeah, 103. James, how are you feeling?
First of all, I was just very surprised because it for me, it just happened really quickly. So... in the manga right now, they're on like Christmas, New Year's break, and they had the stereotypical manga anime, like Christmas Eve moment. And they sort of had a moment at a Christmas Eve party, and it just evolved into, them having a very innocent, hug, which is scandal apparently in Japanese manga culture, any contact at all. And, yes. So then they went their separate ways for break, long story short. And so they had been like, had some awkward text and we're going to like finally talk about it when they got back to school. But like this sort of coincidence happens and they meet each other and it just, the tension boiled over and the confession happened. And I didn't expect it to happen this soon. So I loved the moment. It was a very sweet moment. It was very like fitting and apt for both of their characters. Which I loved. But I'm just wondering where we go from here.
Yeah.
Where's the new tension that's going to come in?
I feel you 100% there. Because I think what very rarely happens, especially in your more mainstream romance series, is the actual, you know, it's more of a build up towards the confession. And then the series just kind of ends. Mm-hmm. I really want to see a series where what are the struggles of actually being in a relationship? Like, you two like each other, sure. And I'm sure Chinatsu is going to say yes in the next chapter. And if she doesn't, well, I'm going to be very upset. Which I don't think would be very in character for.
No, I could say her, I could see them mutually like saying she would obviously instigate this, but I could see them mutually saying, you know, we've got our high school sports dreams. This is something we both want. How do we like manage those two things together? Yeah. So I don't, that's the tension I could see is what if they just like want to, you know, they realize they can't pursue this at this right moment.
Or to just date in secret or something like that. Right. So yeah, I'm interested to see where it can go because once again, this is more the meme being thrown around is this is more Reiwa energy. Reiwa, of course, being referring to the historic period in Japan based on who the emperor is at the time. And for my Godzilla fans, you'll definitely know a bit more of that stuff because they do show with era and stuff like that. So for this, I'm interested to see, because outside of that very forced love triangle, Armand Gakahiru, whose name escapes me at the moment, has been really good at character interactions. So I'm very interested to see where she can take that. You know, she's going to develop the side cast a little more, because we get, you know, some hints that what's her name, Ayame, and is interested in Kyo, and he seems to be interested in Hina. It's like, now that seems like more of a love triangle I can get behind. So developing our side character sounds like something that can happen, and as well showing, like, how does this relationship actually work? It's something they've both wanted for so long. Yeah. Now that said the words out loud, what do we do?
Yeah, so I always find it really interesting when a series can, like, when our shoujo manga series can have the moment of confession and have them get together and then, like, work forward. Like, what does the relationship fleshed out actually look like? I was pumped when Kaguya-sama did that. However, that series, like, got to that moment and then just, like, went sideways real quick. If you're familiar with that series, things just escalated like beyond what could normally happen in a normal person's life really quickly. And but this one is so down the earth that I think it could have the potential to do that. And I think, you know, a more mature audience, we want to see the relationship dynamic. And it's not all about getting to the point of, like, having the confession. It's like what comes after.
Yeah.
I work with the demographic of, like, high school kids, and, like, it's all about getting to that point. And then I, like, watch them get to that point, and it's awesome. I, like, live in a rom-com in my
all the time.
Got a couple of flourishing right now. I take full credit. And but yeah, like, how do you work that out? When you're 15, 16, 17, you don't think about, like, oh, how am I going to sustain or maintain this relationship? But when you're in your 20s or in your 30s, right, like, that's where the magic's at.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's like, how can I, after finally getting to this point, well, what do I actually know about this person? Like, what things do we like doing together? What things do we hate doing together? What can I compromise and do with her that I wouldn't do for anyone else?
Yeah, I just want to see, what is that? Yeah, what does it look like? I just want to see Chinatsu dunk on Taiki. That's what I want.
Have a little one-on-one?
A little one-on-one, yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about Blue Box?
It's great. I hope it continues further. So, like, the sadness in my heart is I really love this one. I love the art style. I think the dynamic's really interesting. The mangaka's great. So I want it to go on. So hopefully that happens.
Okay. Well, next up, James, you have One Piece, which I tried to get an image to fit this, and StreamYard was not working with me. So I think it's more me than StreamYard. So
it's okay. Anyways. Well, we're learning. This is my first episode where we're able to show images. Yeah. So we're all learning here. One Piece right now, we are in the middle of... So we should have said this at the beginning, but spoiler alert hard. There's no way.
Absolutely.
There's no way to talk about One Piece right now without spoiling, like, 20 years of, like, answers, because that's what's... We have now entered the final saga of One Piece. We are in the manga right now. There is a flashback where Sabo, Luffy's brother, is telling Dragon, Luffy's dad, the commander of the Revolutionary Army, what happened at the Reverie. So the Reverie is this big event of the world government. Kingdoms happens, I think, every 4 years. I could be wrong. It could be three or four years. And stuff went down. One of the kings, who is a beloved character in the manga, died. It's unclear if this king's daughter, who was once an auxiliary member of the Straw Hats, died. And so we're getting all of the details. And in this most recent chapter, the five elder stars, the five people that for 15-ish years, a little bit more than that, we thought were, like, the pinnacle of power in the One Piece world, they remained nameless. Chiro Oda loves to do this. Just drop a character and have them come in, like, once every, like, 4 years and say something really significant and then just like not even introduce them. But we finally got all of their names this chapter. They're all based on astrology, like in Greek gods.
Yes.
And so it's interesting. It's a little bit ironic because they're also given like a name and then a job title. So like the one for the god of war is, I think his name is like Valkyrie, but he looks more like a banker than anything else. But the one that looks like he should be the war god is the finance guy. Anyways, it gets, it's interesting to like look, and I'm interested to see what Oda does with that, because there's always a reason for everything in One Piece. And so yeah, and it's going to end on a huge, huge cliffhanger, because it just got announced this past week that Eiichiro Oda is taking a 4-week, 1-month break, hiatus from One Piece. And so I'm actually excited. He has not taken a break of this length in quite some time. You know, he does the standard thing where, you know, we'll get 3 weeks of chapters in a row and then a 1 week break or something like that.
Yeah.
Which he well deserves, but he is actually getting a surgery on his eyes because I believe he has
astigmatism.
So if you look at the announcement that he published and read the English translations, I mean, he just does it in the most like
Oda fashion,
Oda way, yeah, ever. So like, he just hopes he comes back and can shoot laser beams from his eyes, which we all hope as well. I just want someone to post like the Woody meme where like it's Kingdom Hearts 3 and like Woody is holding back Sora and it's like, hold up, let him cook. Because when Yuki Tabata, the mangaka for Black Clover, when he took a break between the last arc and this arc, I mean, it was a little bit of longer of a break and it wasn't health related. It was just I need to figure my stuff out. Like, he came back swinging. Like, Black Clover is so good right now.
Very much so.
Every chapter is so good. And so I just, with this amount of break and Oda not looking at pages and just like thinking, I'm excited to see what he comes back with. I think One Piece is probably plotted out right now. I think he probably like knows the ending and where he's going and what's going to happen. But I just think even with a break, you know, rest and rejuvenation, Sabbath can be a good thing.
I mean, we've talked before a little bit on the, how do I want to phrase this? The immense turmoil and toil a mangaka experiences just working, because they're not American comics artists where sometimes they may have one or two books a month. This is every week, 19-ish pages, 4 weeks out of the month, sometimes five. And that takes a toll. Now, especially he's been at this for 20-some years. It's only natural for staring at something as often as he does in bright rooms to have developed an astigmatism. So, I mean, unless there's some hereditary thing he was predisposed towards, I would definitely say the mangaka career is what caused this. Right. So the man deserves some rest.
For sure. Yeah. Push, I don't know how old you are, but I turn 31 next Monday. And let me tell you, the deterioration of my eyes and all I do is look at a computer screen and type sermons is it's going downhill. It's going downhill fast.
I will be 33 in October.
Cheers.
So thank you. But I never had a chance because both of my parents have terrible eyesight. So like many things I got from them, I got the worst aspects physically. So I never had a hope of seeing well either way. So these contacts are the only thing allowing me to see you right now.
Okay. Well, there you go. That happens. Yeah.
But as far as the chapter itself, like, we get some huge lore drops here. Like just the Will of D alone. And the fact that Vivi's family had D as a part of their name and they took it away so that they wouldn't be persecuted. So the fact that Luffy this whole time has been having that D proudly expressed and he hasn't been killed yet is astounding to me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I missed this when the manga chapter came out, but right now the anime, the most recent anime episode, is where the five elder stars are talking about the gum gum fruit. Mm. They have since realized that it's not the gum gum fruit, that it's actually the human fruit, model Nika. And, yes. But they even seem to be mystified. And I've seen some theories, and Itrotus hasn't spelled this out yet, but there was a mystery meeting where Shanks had showed up at the Reverie to see the five elder stars. And it's getting theorized right now that he went to tell them, like, no, this is not the gum gum fruit. This is actually this other fruit that you guys are worried about. And like, don't even know. So I don't even know this whole time if they knew that fruit was what Luffy had.
Yeah. I remember the discourse when that chapter came out. And I think that was the general consensus, is that they were just unaware this whole time. And they thought it was this, the actual gum gum fruit, as opposed to what it actually is. Once again, spoilers, people, sorry. But you know, we're talking about current manga. And if you're not caught up, I don't know what to tell you.
So, yeah, actually, I've been meaning for an excuse to talk about this on one of the podcasts. But so I'm a Lutheran pastor. We're sort of high liturgical stuff. We have altar paraments. If you know anything about liturgical tradition or colors of the church year. But we've been in the season of Easter, and we have our white paraments on our altar. And I was literally mid worship the other day, one of our other pastors was doing the prayers, and I was just looking at the altar, at the pyramids, and there's a cross in the center of our white pyramids. And then there's the word, or the four Greek letters, N-I-K-A, Nika, which is derived from the Greek, Nike, which it means victory.
Yes.
And it's been an ancient word that has been a descriptor of Christ. And so I don't think it's any sort of like,
Luffy's not a Christ figure.
I think Eiichiro Oda knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look through the, just the study of his names and where they come from. I was watching a video by a YouTuber today, Grand Line Review, who was doing a review of the chapter, which hasn't really even come out yet. The scans of the chapter, which are just like online, like TikTok has ruined me.
Yes.
I can never get to Sunday anymore. It just like, I see them, like, but yeah, he was saying that, Shelley, the king of the East Blue Kingdom where Luffy comes from, like his wife is based on Marie Antoinette, and her name basically means just like something, something dumb. And like the name, like Eiichiro Oda is just very intentional with his names.
Yes.
And so the foreshadowing of having this fruit be called the Nika, model Nika, sets Luffy up as sort of a savior type figure. I mean, to activate it, to awaken it, what had to happen?
A lot.
He died, right? Like he had a moment where it was strongly suggested that like he was done and then like resurrected in that moment.
Yes.
And he's going to bring the dawn of the world, and I can't wait.
Yeah. Man, this series over time just gets better and better as I think about it. And the seed way that Oda has planned things, I'm sure he didn't have everything down when he started. Manga releasing weekly, like you don't have the end goal necessarily in mind. Sometimes, especially if you're Toriyama's, you never had an end goal in mind and you just kind of ended at some point in time. Yeah. But I know Oda, when he takes his breaks, he takes his time to study, to research, to figure out what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So I wish a speedy recovery to him. If this is the content we're going to keep getting, I can wait.
Yeah.
I'm having to wait a whole year for that new Spider-Verse film after having that cliffhanger at the end. So, I mean, I guess I just have to be patient. Mm. Yeah. We just did an episode on that for YouTube as well.
Yeah, I saw. I haven't watched the whole episode. Never mind. This is another conversation for a different time. Watch that episode. We'll talk about Spider-Verse another time.
Yeah.
Everyone go see it.
It's not comic book ketchup. All right. So next up, James has decided you degenerates need some culture in your lives. And he has brought up the very classy, as he put it in text, series, Rent a Girlfriend. Now, James, I dropped this forever ago, so please enlighten me, someone who needs this knowledge in his life. What is happening in Rent a Girlfriend right now for
no one
you
needs,
to want to talk about it?
No one needs this knowledge in their life. No one needs this knowledge. So a buddy of mine recommended this series to me, and I was highly skeptical. And most chapters that I read, I still am highly skeptical. And I feel the purity culture in which I was incubated rise up within me. And I avert my eyes from certain panels. And I read really fast.
Yes.
This series is, if you're not familiar, there's an anime right now. It's pretty popular. I think it's this third season is about to come out in the fall.
Okay.
And the story is a college student's loser guy falls in love with very beautiful woman who you can see from the image in the very beautiful woman anime manga art style. And they end up being roommates. They didn't know each other previously, and they meet because the protagonist, his name is Kazuya, has a really bad breakup. And as a self-esteem boost, goes to a rent-a-girlfriend service and schedules a date with Chizuru, which is the woman in the image here. And hilarity ensues. And I think it's just an interesting one. It goes very slowly. So on the opposite side of Blue Box, right? Like that one's going a little bit too fast for me. This one goes a little bit too slow for me. But it's interesting. So the more you, y'all will hear me talk, I get lost in the theology and the philosophy and the sociological sauce and commentaries of manga. And this one is so interesting because it's the typical like loser guy falls in love with someone who is way out of his league, but keeps on enduring again and hoping against hope. Maybe some of you all know about that. But the girl is just so like repressed inside in general that like she's just not open to romance at all. And so like she starts to have these feelings. She doesn't even know what these feelings are. Yada, yada, yada. 250 chapters later. Anyway.
Yeah, which chapter are we on?
I was actually just looking at that. I can't remember the chapter number. It's 284. 284 is where we're on.
284.
So this chapter is really fun. I mean, social commentary is like, it's getting more and more challenging. Like there's a bunch of numbers and studies that support this. And I'm not Joe Rogan, so don't think that I'm Joe Rogan, please. But there are tons of studies out right now that just show that it's increasingly challenging for the average male who's not like a 6'5 stud to find love, because all of our relationships are online and digital and curated, and like you cannot get to know a real person before swiping whatever it is left or right based on a superficial image. So that is happening on the one hand, and on the other hand, standards for women are increasingly high, right? So most guys will just, you know, we're guys. We're just, you know, we're here to hang out, and we just want to be loved. And I also know that women just want to be loved, and we just need to lay down our standards a little bit and be vulnerable. And I'm going to stop my soapbox sermon there. So that, I mean, that's the dynamic of this whole series. It's the dynamic of a lot of different manga series, but this series drew me in just because it's more, I'm going to say it's more gritty and real and raw than most other series around this topic. Let's just say the character Kazuya is, he is invested in self-love. It's a big running gag throughout the series. This series is not afraid to look at the aspect of physical attraction in a way that some other more innocent series are like, oh, I just had these feelings and they're awesome. And yeah. Kazumi's like, oh yeah, I got these feelings, but also she is really beautiful.
Yes.
And that's, but you can have both of those at the same time. So it's just, but it's also really dumb. So what's happening in 286 right now is Kazuya and Chizuru through a long winding tale of hilarity and also sadness have come to live in the same house. It is the house that Chizuru has grown up in. They're roommates. I think like a fire happens or an earthquake in their apartment building, something really stupid that the author,
okay, was,
we need to keep it going, people. Let me give you 50 more chapters. and so now they live in her childhood house and they've been doing really benign things. Like they went shopping for a new TV and they went to a convenience store together one time late at night because they were both out of things. And, you know, they're slowly realizing that the feelings are real. But this most recent chapter, there's a character now that wasn't at the start. She doesn't come in until maybe halfway through the current series. Her name is Yamori, and she also attends the same university they do. And she meets Kazuya and sort of makes him her hero, her like mentor figure, her sensei, because he just is sort of this figure that like shoots above the stars and hopes beyond hope. And she finds that really endearing and wants to help him. She's also just a menace and a savage, right? So like, in the manga chapter currently, they find out it's her birthday. They have really recently done this big thing to celebrate Chizuru's birthday, which was a whole ton of drama. So Yamori feels like she can cash in a favor for her birthday. The favor that she cashes in this most recent chapter is that she wants Kazuya and Chizuru to play the game of games, Twister.
Riveting. So
that is the most recent chapter, is her beginning this game of Twister with them. And she's not playing, by the way. She's just doing the spin on the wheel and doctoring it to make it as awkward as possible.
So she's playing wingman?
She is wingman par excellence.
Okay.
That is her role in the series, that and comedic relief.
So I, as someone who dropped this very early, and one of the reasons being Kazuya's character being, I mean, kind of the definition of an incel in some regards,
yeah,
and how he views women, like, yeah, has that improved at all?
Yes and no. I mean, I think you come to find him, I have come to find him somewhat endearing because it has become more than just physical attraction for him.
Okay.
Which I appreciate. Now, that element is still very real and vital for him. I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah.
But it does become more than that. And so that's been fun to watch happen. But all that goofiness and lust is still present in the series. I mostly am invested in it because of the drama, because in the mid part of the series, there is some drama and, you know, we all need a little trash in our lives. We all need, you know, a Sabbath from thinking about high holy things all of the time.
As someone who watches almost every single isekai that comes out, I get it. Like, okay, that trash, it's so garbage. And I keep expecting it to get better, and I keep hurting myself over and over again. Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah. Manga Mustard is a safe place, folks.
You two can get hurt together with us. All right. Anything else you want to add about Rent a Girlfriend?
No, it's trash, but it's fun trash. Enjoy.
Yeah. It's trash. You're trash for loving it, and that's okay.
Hey, forgiven, beloved child of God, right here.
All right. So next up, I have the newest chapter of Dandadan. Now, James, are you familiar with this series at all?
I am not actually familiar with this series, so I'm excited to hear what you got to say.
Okay. There's a lot to explain, so I'm going to try and condense it real quick. Essentially, we get two characters here. We have Momo and Okarun. That's kind of his nickname because she doesn't like his real name, because his real name is like her favorite, like, idol or actor or something like that, if I remember correctly. So she can't bear like seeing him and having that name. So she calls him this nickname instead. And she comes from, her grandmother is essentially like an exorcist, kind of Shinto Buddhist. And so she has a little bit of psychic ability that's untapped right now, but she believes in aliens and stuff like, and cryptids and stuff like that. And he, as this very scientifically minded person, is like, oh man, spirits are real too. Like yokai are real. Let me go explore that. So they realize they both have these thoughts. So they hear rumors. So they say, oh, well, I'm going to go check out this rumor here. And she's going to check out this rumor here. She encounters aliens, almost gets murdered, activates her psychic powers for the first time to fight them. He ends up, and there's really no delicate way to put this, like this individual known as the Turbo Granny essentially steals his testicles. Yeah. Japan people. Yeah. this was one of the reasons it was so hard to get into the series at the very beginning. It was like, because
I love the last excuse, Japan.
I mean, what else do you want from me?
I mean, you're not wrong. You are not wrong.
And basically absorbs her powers, and part of the quest in this series is to regain his balls, essentially.
I'm just confused. So he gets her powers, Turbo Granny's powers.
Yes.
What does Turbo Granny get? What is the exchange here?
Well,
fetish.
They defeat her. Mm. And in the midst of it, he kind of absorbs. It's been a while since I've read the beginning of the series, okay. So I apologize if I get something wrong. And with the help of Momo's grandmother, is kind of able to implant the Turbo Granny spirit into like this little cat doll, like those little the Maki Neko things you see at like Chinese and Japanese restaurants. Yeah. And she's a great character. You wouldn't think, from the way she's introduced, it's like total scum, and she's still scum, but she's funny about it. So they meet up, they have some friends along the way that, you know, another girl in school that's interested in Okarun and thinks that Momo's her rival in that regard. And she gains the powers of Acro Silky, another yokai in Japan. And you have Momo's best friend, Gigi, who gets possessed by essentially the evil eye and gains new abilities from that. And they've got this guy they just found who's big into mecha, and they just made a mecha a couple of chapters ago. And we have Vimola, who is an alien refugee that we just had a huge backstory arc for her, where her species was essentially separated by alien invaders who are attacking Earth right now, where they separated the men and the women. And she lost everyone she loved and was teleported to Earth to like try and find someone, you know, someone who could, you know, take care of her, and she could protect this world like they weren't able to do for their own. Mm. So this chapter, I haven't mentioned, as another character who is a mantis shrimp alien they have befriended, and he is joining them in this fighting against this praying mantis alien figure. And he's got this whole thing where he's taking care of his little son. He's now on Earth. He's got a job where I think he's like working construction or something like that. He has like a human form he can take. Cause he very obviously would not fit in if you saw his design. And just, it's, one of the things this series does really well are its fights. Like, there have been times where there have been page without dialogue. Oh. And it's just pure action. And I'm in it to win it. Like, if you can get over the initial start of this series, which I admit it's going to be a lot, because that's still one of the premises, is that they're searching for his balls. Like, there's no other way I can put that delicately. Okay. And like, once again, like, I have a hard time recommending this series to other people because of stuff like that. So I know if you're not into that, I totally get it. But it just kind of ends with, what is his name? His son is like Chiquita or something like that. And the mantis shrimp defeats this praying mantis monster, alien, which tried to use venom to kill him. But since they fought in the water, well, what a mantis shrimp known for? Beating the heck out of people really quickly with that lightning jab of theirs. Mm. And I gotta say, like, this is a side character. This is not one of the main characters, and devoted an entire chapter to this fight, and I'm in it to win it. Like, this mangaka does extremely well with his characters. Like I said, that flashback series we just had with Vimola's, her suffering and not being in a world where, you know, she was free to do anything she liked. Amazing. So yeah. I highly recommend this for people who can handle some of the subject matter.
Yeah, it sounds weird. It sounds weird, but I'm into it. I just want to confirm that I heard you correctly. There are yokai and aliens in the series.
Yes, and that's actually one of the central premises of the series, is the reason Earth hasn't been invaded before is because they really don't know how to handle like yokai. And so part of the series was the aliens like experimenting, is like, okay, how do we handle this? How do we fight this? And now they feel like they have enough confidence where they can actually conquer the Earth.
Oh, okay. So now they're coming. So is it end game or is it like mid game?
Honestly, I'd say maybe a little past mid game.
Okay, a little past mid game.
Yeah. It's like 100 some chapters. I'd have to look it up. Okay. 109.
Okay, great.
That's what we're on. So maybe even a little before mid game, depending on where we go from here.
Great, great, great. Yeah, so funny story that you made me think of is really, really random. My fiance and I just adopted two kittens.
Oh.
They are very cute. And we're trying to name them. We have not picked names, but my fiance goes, what about Milo? And I was like, are you trying to name our cat after your celebrity crush, Milo Ventimiglia? And she was like, head down.
Peter Petrelli?
Yeah. So, was that a Heroes callback?
That was a Heroes callback, friend.
Wow, that's old school to these kids nowadays. But yeah, no. So I just, you drew me in when she was like, nope, that's not your name because that's the name of my idol. we're bringing it full circle.
Oh yes. So I said, this series, a ton of fun. Like I love it every week when it does release, because it's a one of those series, Jump Plus, kind of like where Chainsaw Man is being done right now, where it kind of releases when they get it done so that they have time to actually rest, thank God.
Right. So this one is not, this one's not, this is a Jump series.
Yes, Jump Plus.
Okay. There you go. I will look it up. I'm excited.
Oh, yes. Like I said, highly recommend. Excellent series. So we got a little bit of time. So I'm going to focus on one final one just for the sake of bringing it up. It's a newer series. It is done by the same people who did Food Wars. And surprisingly, there's only been, out of like 7-8 chapters, one scene of ecchi this entire time. And the restraint involved, for people who know what Food Wars is astounding to me. But central premise of the series, I don't know character names because it's only... Yeah, a couple chapters in, but our main character here has really loved film his entire life. His dream is to like direct something one day, and he encounters this ghost who had once been in the film industry and had like never gotten to use his final product, and like that's his one regret that's like keeping him tied to this world. So they agree to team up and film their own series, and the girl you can see in that image there is like a super popular actress idol who attends his school, and like she's really into acting, and like what the series shows with her is like she can flip from one second to the next into a role, and that's like her thing. And so it's a new series starting in Jump that may avoid the axe. I really hope so, especially with like the star power it has behind it. But Tenmaku Cinema, really enjoying it. Check it out if you have the time. But I believe that's it for us, unless you have anything you want to add, James.
No. Good. Yeah.
Okay. So this was Manga Mustard. This is something we probably be doing maybe a little more frequently, maybe not, depending on how things go. Once again, this should be uploaded to YouTube later on. This has been a lot of fun. Like, I don't get to talk about this with the people around me a lot. So it's just nice to have someone like, oh, yes. Oh, what's the Will of D? Like, who else can I do that around here with? So, if you guys have any suggestions for manga you'd like us to cover, let us know. We'd like to do that as well to get you more involved in this series. Leave a comment. Say, hey, I'm reading this manga. Have you seen it? Have you checked it out? Anything like that. So after all that, please just give me a chance to like this video, share it with the people around you to help increase awareness of this. But remember, we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
This was an Anna's Isle Ministries podcast. If you enjoyed this show and would like to learn more about our network, be sure to check out the Anna's Isle Ministries podcast network.